Amen, amen. Do we got power? Got some juice up in here? There we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be at Grace Point this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you are here with me. Yeah. I'd hate to come here and there be no one here to worship with me. Amen?
Amen.
We all like people to worship with us. Fellowship. Fellows in the same ship. Yeah. Amen. It's always funner when you got someone else to go on with you, amen? I mean, some people like to be alone. Sometimes I do like to be alone, but most of the time, to have a good time, it takes more than one person to have a good laugh and to have some fun, amen? Glad you're here with me this morning. I'm going to go to the book of Matthew, get started, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. Do my best just to teach this morning. I've been preaching a lot lately, and got to get back into the teaching groove. Amen?
Yes.
Try not to holler and scream. Verse 24 starts, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Just want to talk a little bit this morning on a spiritual checkup. A spiritual checkup. Every once in a while, we have to have these spiritual checkups. You may be seated. I mean, it's no different when we go to the doctor. We have our physical checkup in our body because it's important. Especially the older we get, the more we realize, the more we have to go to the doctor. The more we have to keep our body under check and balance. Myself, every 3 months, I have to do blood work and I have to have a doctor's appointment for that blood work. It's just part of life, part of being diabetic, just issues. So everybody, we know we have to take care of this physical body, right? It's important. If you don't take care of it, what's going to happen? It's going to degrade. It's going to go away. Everything is going to start to expand like it shouldn't. I have that problem. In the last 2 months, I've gained like 10 pounds, and it's all been in inches. I'm telling you, them donuts are killing me. But we have these issues. We have to get these checkups. But it's no different for our spiritual self. I mean, just as important as our physical body that we need to have checkups to make sure that we are healthy, it's just as important that we have our spiritual checkups to make sure that we are healthy spiritually. Because if you don't have a checkup every now and then, how are you going to know where you're at? You go to the doctor, get your blood work done so you can look at your levels, so you can see where you're at. You can look on a piece of paper and say, okay, I know I need to work on this area. I know I need to work on this area. There's no difference spiritually. Spiritually, every once in a while, we got to have a nice checkup in our life so we can look at things and say, you know what? This is an area in my life I really need to work on. I'm not praying like I was a couple months ago. I need to work on that. I'm not praying for other people like I was doing a couple months ago. I need to work on that area. You know, I'm not reading the Bible as much, and you know what, I'm not attending church like I was. Areas we need to work on in our spiritual life, amen? So when we look at our life, the last thing you want is to be in a fight and to find yourself not prepared. You want to be prepared. If you go into war, you go into the battle not prepared, it would certainly mean death for you. It would mean loss for you if you were not prepared. You don't run into a battlefield without your weapon. People are shooting at you. People are trying to kill you. You're not just going to run out there with an umbrella. An umbrella is not going to do much for you. You have to be prepared with the right items. You bring a knife to a gunfight. You don't bring a football to a baseball game. You're going to look really odd. People are going to look at you like, what's wrong with that guy? He's got a couple screws loose. I mean, you're out there trying to throw a football to the, you know, first baseman. What are you doing? It's not right. You're not prepared. After a fight, you don't bring home a vacuum cleaner where roses should be brought. Okay, man? You don't do it. That's unprepared. That could cost you your life in certain situations. I mean, and it could be justified in some places. I mean, some countries, I mean, they can justify that. It is crucial to be prepared for whatever the task is that you are going to face. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going into, you want to be prepared. If you're going on a job interview, what do you do beforehand? You prepare for it. You make sure you're wearing the right thing. You make sure you practice some of the questions that may be asked of you for the right answers. I've read a study many times about going to job interviews, and they clearly say, make sure you wear the right colors. And one of the right colors is blue. They said a navy blue jacket is one of the best things you can wear at a job interview. And if you really want to look professional, wear a red tie with it, because it looks really professional. And just think about it. Think of all the elections and all the government things that you've seen. Majority of times, if they're not wearing a black suit, what are they wearing? They're wearing a blue jacket and some form of red tie. It works, people. It's not me. It's in the numbers. But you have to be prepared. It is crucial that you are prepared for whatever it is that you are wanting to face, wanting to get into. So my first point this morning is know your enemy. Know your enemy, what you're going to face. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So it is not likely that your enemy will loudly or publicly announce their plans to attack you. You never see an enemy walking around saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be waiting around the corner for you over here just to let you know. They don't do that. They surprise you. They want to trip you up. It would be easier that way, but that's not the way it happens. To give away their strategy and their plans would most likely guarantee their defeat, not their victory. The enemy wants to win. Just in case you didn't know that this morning, a newsflash. Your enemy really wants to win. It doesn't want to lose. It wants to surprise you on the battlefield, to back you in a corner, to get you to a place where you have nowhere to turn, no other options. That's what it wants to do to you. It wants to get your mind into the place where mentally you feel like you have no other options, like you're defeated, like there's nothing else you can do in your mind. If he can catch you off guard, then he will have a strategic advantage over you. If he can catch you off guard. That's why it's important to be prepared. You have to be prepared. The Message Bible breaks that scripture down like this, and I love it. It says, keep a cool head and stay alert. Keep a cool head and stay alert. How many things in life could we get through just with that simple philosophy? Keep a cool head. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, don't get upset, don't get frustrated, don't get flustered. Keep a cool head about it. Keep your standing, your footing is another way to say it. Stay grounded. And then be alert. Know what is going on around you. Be wise to what the enemy is doing around you and what their plan is. Amen? You have to know your enemy. One of the key strategies the enemy wants to accomplish is to get into your head, as I said. If the enemy can get into your head, then the victory is already halfway done. He's already halfway demolished your plans and your strength, your energy, if he can just get into your head. The greatest battles are not fought on the battlefield, some say, but it is fought inside the head. That's all it is. It's a head game. Because if you can get into your enemy's head and you can really mess with their mind, then you can manipulate them to do anything you want them to do. I know in law enforcement, one of the things, we call it verbal judo. And I was actually talking to Brother Pete about it the other night while we was driving, verbal judo. Because you can talk yourself into any situation and you can talk yourself out of any situation. It's all in what you say and how you say it. In convincing somebody to believe what you believe. And many times in law enforcement, the difference between life and death in some situations was simply me being able to reach into their mind with my words and manipulate them to calm down or to do what I wanted them to do. A lot of times it's called reverse psychology. You want them to get cohere, so you try to talk them into going there. So they automatically, out of rebelliousness, decide, no, I'm going to go here. Well, great, you're exactly where I wanted you now. That's what the enemy does. It plays with your mind. In medieval times, the Northmen or the Vikings, they would come to invade a castle or a city, and they had a really cool strategy. Because in those times, you didn't have drones flying around where you could look over your enemy and see how big their army was. So you would judge the enemy about how big their army was by how many lanterns or torches that you saw at night. So if you're there and you see an enemy coming towards you, you would look and you maybe see 100 torches. You prepare for 100 men or a little bit more than 100 men. Okay, I see 100 torches, so let's get 150 men ready to fight. Oh, I see 300 torches, so let's maybe get 400 men ready to fight. Let's just prepare for what we see. That was their only way of knowing. So the Viking, they devised a plan that instead of carrying every man a torch, walking down the side in the middle of the night, they would only give half the men a torch, or a quarter of the men a torch. So instead of only being 100 torches there, and they're saying, oh, there's only 100 men, yet there's 100 men carrying 100 torches, but you don't see the 300 men that's not carrying torches. And so they would prepare for 100 men to come down and fight, but when in fact they would be overwhelmed by 300 and 400 men when daylight came because they didn't see all those men. It's all a mind game. It's all a mind game. And we talk about that in the physical, but it's so much spiritual too. It's all a mind game. The enemy messes with your mind. See, we talk about things that happen in the physical, but a lot of things that happen in the physical world that have us has nothing to do with the enemy, has nothing to do with the devil. We like to blame it on him and give him credit, which I think is really just giving him praise. I mean, your flat tire had nothing to do with the devil. It's plain and simple. It didn't. You just didn't pay attention. You didn't take care of your tires, and therefore you got a flat tire. Or there was just a nail in the road and you ran over it. That's called life. That's all it is. It's just called life. Now, it can be God sometimes, because maybe God was protecting you from something up the road, so he allowed you to get a flat tire to hold you back. We all got those testimonies. I've got many of them where something happened and I was running 5 minutes late, and then I would come to a devastating accident that I knew, because I drive it every morning to work where I'm supposed to be at a certain time. And if I would have left on time, I would have been right there at that point when it happened. Sometimes God allows that to happen. Devil ain't going to do that. He ain't going to save you. Oh, I just wanted to save your life today, so I gave you a flat tire. Nope. Enemy didn't do that for you. It's either life or it's God just taking care of you. That's the way we got to look at it. Amen? Amen? But our enemy, he is sneaky, he is clever, and he will do whatever he can to get into your mind. Because he's not everything that he says he is, but he wants you to think that he is. He wants you, see, remember the scripture there. It says, he walks around, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say he is a roaring lion. It says, as a roaring lion. He wants you to think he's a roaring lion. That's what he wants you to think. So he's going to be boisterous. He's going to be loud. He's going to do everything he can to put on a good front to make you think he is more than what he actually is, but he's just trying to put up a front. There's only one person in the Bible that it speaks of that is a lion. And that's the Lion of Judah. That is God. He is the lion. Not as a lion, he is the lion. The devil just wants to be like him. That's all it is. He wants to be like him. But the enemy wants to surprise you on the battlefield and back you into a corner. And if he can catch you off guard, then he will have the advantage over your life. Amen? So your enemy, he will play mind games with you. You're not where you need to be, is what he'll tell you. We've all had these in our mind. We think about these things. The enemy just whispers into your mind. You're not who you're supposed to be in God. You're not where you're supposed to be in God. You'll never amount to anything. Is this hitting home with some people? You can't go a day without messing up, so who do you think you are? You can't even wake up and walk from the bed Monday morning to the bathroom, you know, when you wake up without having a bad thought in your head because your life is so messed up. Who do you think you are? As the mind games playing with you, speaking into your ear. But it says, be sober, be vigilant, keep a calm, be calm mind, and be alert. Don't get frustrated. Don't get disappointed. Amen? We have to stay ready and watch. We have to be ready for the mind games of the enemy. So first, to be prepared, we have to know our enemy. That was my first point. The second thing we have to do is we have to lay aside every weight. That's what the Bible speaks of. Lay aside every weight. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith, the beginning, the end, not the devil. Jesus is God, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love this here. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So first we have weights that we have to look at. What are weights? Weights are things that we allow to burden us down, to bring us down. My job's not doing very well. Well, that's a weight I got on my shoulder. I'm worried about it. I'm walking around every day worried about a job. My family's not doing the best right now. Oh, that's another weight on this shoulder. It's weighing me down. I'm worried about that. It's just on my mind constantly. Oh, just things aren't going right, you know, with my friends. And, you know, I got this happening and this happening. And I'm going to have, my engine's going to blow my car eventually at some point. And before you know it, you got so much weight on your shoulders that you can't even walk straight. You're buckled down and you're hurting a little bit. And sometime last year, I did a demonstration with Brother Harley where I had him come up here and he was holding a pitcher of water. It was just a small pitcher of water. It was maybe half a gallon. That's all it was. Not very heavy. But I had him stand here and start holding that while I just kept on teaching. About 15 minutes later, I got back to him and that little half-gallon pitcher of water that he was holding with no problem, because y'all know him, he's very muscular. He was now, his arm was going like this, and he had to keep on shifting his weight and straighten that arm, and his arm was starting to cramp, because after 15 minutes, that little half-gallon of jug, it started getting pretty heavy. That's the way it is with all of our weights. You can have a couple weights on you of life, and they're not that heavy. You can deal with them. We all do. It's just natural. We all have weights we deal with daily. But if you allow those weights to stay on your shoulders and to keep building up and keep building up, those little weights that you've allowed to put on your life eventually are going to weigh you down, and you're going to be all hunched over. You're not going to be able to stand up straight and worship like you want to in church. You're not going to be able to raise your hands like you want to in church. You're not going to be able to clap your hands because your arms are going to hurt from holding on those weights. And it's all because little by little by little, you allowed those weights to weigh you down. And what does the scripture say? The scripture says, lay those weights aside. Amen. We got to lay those weights at the feet of Jesus. We have to lay them at the feet of Jesus. That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. Give it all to God. He can carry it. He wants to carry it for us. There's no need for us to worry about it, because who takes care of our problems? God does. Who do you trust with your life? I'd much rather trust God with my finances and with my family than to trust my own judgment. Because I can worry myself to death worrying about where my paycheck's going to come from and how I'm going to provide for my family and how my car's going to be running tomorrow or how rent's going to be paid. Or I can just come and just lay it in God's hands and say, God, you are my provider. You are everything I need, so I'm going to just entrust that you're going to take care of me. Amen? I pay my tithes. I know God has me. I know God's going to take care of me. You got to have that same attitude. If you're faithful to God, He's going to be faithful to you. I mean, plain and simple. If you're faithful to God, He's going to be faithful to you. I love it. Wayne Huntley, he said it best many years ago in one of his sermons. He says, when I started making God's business my business, that's when God made my business His business. And it's so true. Pastor just talked, you know, Wednesday about missions and giving. There's a correlation between giving to missions and God blessing. When you give, when you bless the kingdom, when you trust God with everything you have, especially your finances, you ain't got to worry about it. God's going to take care of you. I'm not telling you He's going to make you a millionaire. That's not scripture. It doesn't say He's going to do that, but it says you're not going to be without. Amen? I've never had to worry about a job. In my life, every time I've lost a job or I was at a place where I needed to find a new job, God provided a job every time. Amen. I've never had to worry about what food was going to be on the table, because I always had food in my pantry. It wasn't T-bone steaks. Sometimes it was rice, and sometimes it was just good old chicken, because that's what's cheap. But I never went without. My family has never went without. We've paid our bills. We've done everything. Simply because we understood that we have to let God handle everything that we are. And I'm not saying that to boast myself. I'm using myself as a testimony that if you will allow God in your life and trust Him, He will take care of you. He will. And you all got your own testimonies of that. We could stand here for hours today. I remember Old Testimony services. We stand, all right, who wants to give a testimony? Someone stand up. Man, you get in the wrong church with the wrong people, you could be there for 2 hours, people giving testimonies about what God can do. And it's all good because God has done, that's awesome. God's done some great stuff, but you got to have church too. Amen? So first, we lay aside every weight. Then it says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. So first, spiritual checkup. We got to lay aside all those weights, all those things that burden us down and give them to God. But then after we do that, we have to make sure we are right. You have to make sure your heart and your mind are right with God. You have to look at your life, get a checkup, a reality checkup of the sins that so easily beset us. What is tripping you up every day? What is messing with your life every day? We have to give those things and we have to get rid of them. We have to get those sins and we have to take care of them. Because those sins just constantly, it says, so easily beset us. Every day they're tripping you up. Every day they're messing with your mind. That's going to go a long way to keeping those weights on your shoulders and to get that attitude in your mind of you're worthless, you're a nobody. How can you trust God to do this when God can't even trust you to walk 2 steps without messing up a little sin here and there? You're a disgrace. That's what the scripture's talking about. We have to deal with those issues. And it's not so much getting rid of the sin because I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to continue to trip up here and there. Just if you didn't know it, you're going to. Just because you got the Holy Ghost today doesn't mean tomorrow you're going to trip up again. I mean, of all the people in the Bible, one of the greatest was Paul. And what did he say? He says, I die daily. I die daily. If Paul, the apostle who wrote a quarter of the Bible, the scriptures, if he has to say, I mess up daily, I have to repent daily, then I know for sure I got to repent a couple times a day. Because I look at his life a lot better than mine. I mean, he's the man. I mean, we look at his words and we live by his words in here. I mean, he teaches things that keep us in line with God. And he dies daily. So how much more should we have to die daily? Okay? That doesn't mean you're worthless. That doesn't mean you're a nobody. That doesn't mean that you can't be right with God and that God can't use you just because you have to die daily. That just means daily you have a reality check and you admit to your weakness to God and say, God, help me work on this today. Help me work past this today. That's how you're prepared. That's how you keep your life in check. That's how you keep your spiritual mind in check. Amen? That's how you get prepared for warfare in the spirit. But in warfare, there are some things you have to leave behind. There are some things in life, in spiritual acts, that you just have to leave somewhere. You can't take with you. You never seen a soldier on the battlefield carrying a flat screen TV on his back. It's not necessary. Sure, he would like to have it in his barracks when they're not fighting, but when you're on the battlefield and you're fighting, that's just going to get in the way. It's going to weigh you down. It's going to make you a big moving target. Hey, hit that idiot over there with the TV on his back. What is he doing? You never see them walking on the battlefield carrying their Lazy Boy recliner on a wagon. Yeah, I'm fighting now, but I got my Lazy Boy with me when I'm done, but I'm going to take me a nap. Nope, ain't going to happen. You're going to have someone else, hey, hit that guy right there. Look what he's doing. Easy target. Easy target. There's some things you don't take on the battlefield. You don't need them. I'm not preaching anything against TVs or Lazy Boy recliners because I have them both. I like them, especially I actually just sold my Lazy Boy recliner and kind of sad about that. But moving on to better things. Y'all pray for my wife. I told her I want a camo one now, and she won't let me. So y'all pray that God moves her heart in line. She's listening out there. But if you're going to go into the trenches, it's going to be kind of hard to run and fight and dig into trenches when you're pulling these things with you that are weighing you down. I want to do all I can for God. I want to fight for God. I want to be on this battlefield. I want to win this city to God. I want to evangelize the city. It's going to be kind of hard to do, though, if I got all this excess baggage on my back and I can't walk straight. And if I'm walking up there and say, hey, let me tell you about the goodness and the greatness of God and what he's done for me, and they see me hunched over like this, and they don't really see the smile on my face because I'm so burdened down and weighed down, they're not going to want to listen to anything I got to say. They're not going to want to talk to me. They're going to say, man, you look like you're in pain. I don't want anything you got to sell because that looks painful. Well, I mean, you say God is good, but by looking at you, it really doesn't look that way. I mean, you don't look like God's been good. You look like it's been kind of hard. I mean, you're kind of ugly right now. I'm just being real this morning. Amen? Y'all with me? My point is that to reach is that in each of our lives, we need to take a hard reality check on what is really important to us. We have to look at our priorities, our routines, our belongings, all areas of our life, and determine that, is it necessary for my walk with God? Is this going to help me in my walk to eternity? Or is it going to hinder my walk to eternity? That's our ultimate goal. Not everything is going to hinder you. Not everything is going to stop you. Not everything is going to be a weight that you can't handle. But how much easier would life be if we did get rid of some things that just really didn't need to be there? They're not sin. They're not sin, but do I really need them? Do I really need it? Think about it. I mean, good concept. We just had a yard sale yesterday because we're moving. There's a lot of things I could have kept. Wouldn't have hurt us. Wouldn't have mattered. I could put it up on a shelf. I could put it in the garage. It's not going to hinder me any, really. But in moving, do I really need it? Do I really need it? If not, sell it. Get rid of it. That was our attitude. Because I didn't really need it. It's not that it was bad. It wasn't going to hurt me. I could have kept it and lived life just fine. But now, when it comes to moving, my life's going to be just a little bit easier just because I didn't need it, so I got rid of it. Same with our spiritual life. There's some things, it's not bad, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. But your life might be a little bit easier moving forward if you got rid of some stuff that just didn't need to be there, just taking up dust. Well, regardless of what that may be, whether that be priorities, routines that you have that maybe you could change, make life easier. Belongings. Things that you don't need, could get rid of. Could be relationships. Friends that you really don't need, they're not helpful to your walk with God. Maybe it's family members. I'll be the first to tell you, I have family that we've let go. We don't talk to because they become such a hindrance to my walk with God that, you know what? My salvation is more important than you. Sometimes you got to make those hard decisions. Sometimes it's an easy decision depending on who your family is. Might be easy to say, hey, bye. See you later. You never know. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's such a basic black and white scripture right there. Things on this earth are going to pass away. They're going to corrode. What's here on earth is not important in heaven. The things that may be so costly here on earth to hold are not that costly in heaven. You can't take it with you. We've all seen that comic strip in the paper at some point in our life. You know, the hearse pulling a wagon with all the gold and pictures and things like that. I saw one, it was a hearse pulling a Harley. The guy wanted to take his motorcycle with him. That stuff ain't leaving this earth when your spiritual body and that grave splits wide open and you go flying. It's going to stay right here in the grave. But what is going to get you in heaven? What is going to be there in heaven? It's going to be all those spiritual things that you laid up. The spiritual things. What you did on this earth for the kingdom of God. When God hands you that crown, and you look at that crown and you see all the stones in it, all the jewels in it, and God's like, this stone here is for that person that you witnessed to and they were saved because you were willing to speak with them. This stone here, this is because your family member over here, you went and told them about Jesus' name baptism and they got saved because you was able to speak to them. The works that you do on earth for the kingdom, your treasures that are laid up in heaven, that is what is important in our life. If we want to be effective in this fight, we have to get our priorities straight. We have to keep in line with the Word of God and what the Word says. We have to keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing, Jesus Christ. Heaven is our home. That is our ultimate goal. We have to keep that the main thing. Our number one goal is to make it to heaven and to take as many people as we can with us. So I said when I started off, it's a lot funner when you got other people with you. I'm going to heaven with or without you. But it's going to be a lot funner if you're there with me. It's going to be a bigger party if you're there with me. Amen? I want some people to party with in heaven. I don't want it to be just me and Jesus. I want some of my friends with me too. So I can share in the joy, share in the experience. That's why when we're talking about we're church and we fellowship together, it's the same. If you're happy, I want to be happy with you. If you're sad, I want to be sad with you. Whatever you're going through, I want to be there with you in it because I'm your brother. That's the way it is. We are a family in Christ. We have to stick together. So I want to go to heaven with you, not by myself. So I ask you today, what are the things that are weighing you down this morning? I'm running out of time. Is it worth you not receiving a blessing, those things that are weighing you down? Think about it. The blessing you've been praying for. That promotion you've been waiting for, or that going to the next level in God and His anointing that you've been waiting for. Is it worth missing all that because of something you're not willing to let go of? Because of something you're not willing to get behind you and just leave it? You just want to carry it with you? Like I said, it's not going to keep you out of heaven, but just making your life a little bit more difficult because you won't leave it behind. Or is it worth spending eternity in the wrong place if it is something that will keep you out of heaven? Is there something you're going through, you got a habit, and you know it's sin? Just think about it. Is that little habit worth spending an eternity in the wrong place because of one little thing that you're unwilling to give to God and let Him work with you on? That's some hard stuff right there. Simple, but hard. This race we're running is a long one, and we don't need to carry anything that is not necessary. And when we start to feel faint and discouraged, we have to look to Jesus when we're weak. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. We've all heard that scripture. God is our strength. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Good scriptures right there. I mean, black and white. God is our strength in our weakness. Whenever we're weak, we can look to God. Whenever we're falling and we feel like we can't take another step, we can look to God. God can help us. God can take us. Amen. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Even the young people. They go through stuff too. They're going through things in school that I never even dreamed of they would go through. Nothing that I faced. They got it hard, going through things that we've never dreamed of, that they're fighting every day. So they're going to fall faint too. They're going to get weak. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's not saying you sit there and wait and wait and wait. No, that's saying those who trust in God. If you trust in God in your situation, He will renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That it's not saying you're just going to take one step here and one step there. You're not going to crawl. No, He says you're going to mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to soar above your situation. You never seen an eagle crawl on the ground. No, what do? They fly. They soar. And when they do fly, they're high above everything, looking down. You'll mount up with wings of an eagle. You're going to soar above your situation, above your problems, because of the strength of God. You shall run and not be weary. Not walk, not crawl. You will run. I like that one because I can't run. I run for 5 minutes and I feel like I'm dying. Yeah, it's funny, but I've quoted this scripture times when running. God, you said, I'll run and not be weary. I'm weary. And that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about physically. You're not jogging. And God goes, no. It's talking about in our spiritual. When you get weak spiritually, God's going to help you to run spiritually. You're going to have energy. You're going to be able to go full steam. That's what it's talking about there. I wish it was the other way because I need to lose some weight. But shall not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And my last point here says, identify your weaknesses. You have to identify your weaknesses. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So in doing this, you're not only going to save yourself. By identifying your weakness, identifying those weights, identifying those little sins that beset you. By doing that, you're not only going to save yourself, but you're going to save others. Your life is the biggest testimony and biggest witness you have to this city. Everything you do, everywhere you go, people are watching you. They are looking to you to see what happens. People on your job, they know that you're a Christian, is what you tell them. And so they come into the job place, and they're looking for you. They say, hey, let's see what we can do to them today. Let's see if we can get them mad. We all had those coworkers. They purposely do stuff to try to trip you up. I've had them. They're just waiting. Oh, just go mess up his whole desk and let's just sit back and watch. See what happens. Let's see if they're really a Christian. Let's see what they say. Uh-huh. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many have failed that test? Yeah, we could all do it. But everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you say, people are watching you. Your daily life is being watched. You are a witness to everyone around you. You are showing Jesus in your attitude when you're on your job. You are showing grace and mercy when dealing with the cashier who doesn't know 2 + 2. We've all been there too. They even got the computer in front of them that tells them how much to give you, and they still can't count. Do you lose your Holy Ghost? How about sitting in McDonald's drive-thru? You feel like you've been there for 10 minutes, but it's really only been a minute and a half. And you're losing your Holy Ghost with them. What's your problem? I want my fries. Oh, check the Holy Ghost. Lost it there a little bit. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. Hey, come to Grace Point today. I ain't going nowhere you're going. I don't know what you're talking about. People are watching you. Your life is the greatest testimony. How you act. How you talk, the words you say, how you live your life. Here's the big one. How you dress. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I'm just going to say it. How you dress. If you look like the rest of the world, what are they going to get? What are you showing them? Well, there's nothing different about them because they're dressed just like me. They're dressed just like me, so obviously they're nothing different than me. So how you are dressed speaks volumes. Do you dress like you're blessed? Are you dressed like God has saved you? Amen? Do you look like everyone else in the world that says they're a Christian? Bless God, I'm a Christian. Really? What are you? I'm Pentecostal. Really? Because you look just like Jehovah's Witness down the street. You're wearing the same outfit that the Baptist girl was wearing yesterday at the car wash. I'm moving on. I'll leave all that to Pastor. So traits of a Christian, Galatians 5 and 22, and I'm closing here, you can stand. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are traits of a Christian. We have to have our daily checkup in our life, and we have to show these traits in our life. We have to make sure that everywhere we go, everything that we do, we are acting like a Christian, that we are talking like a Christian, that we are presenting a Christian walk in life. We have to make sure we have a daily checkup that we are where we need to be. Where we need to be. It's just as important, not only physical, but spiritual. Get your spiritual checkup. We're going to have a chance for you today to have that. You're going to be able to get a spiritual checkup today at the altar, during our praise and worship, during our altar call. It's your chance. Dr. Jesus is here today. He's accepting new patients. And it's up to you whether you want to sign your name on the paper and say, I'm here for an appointment and come in. Amen? It's up to you. It's up to you. Announcements real quick as we go forth. Don't forget our midweek services. Prayer on Tuesdays, 7 p.m. We have our midweek service at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. Our annual fall picnic, that is October 28th. If you've never been to our picnic, you want to come. They are a blast. We have a...